A few years ago, the BBC had a television series they called Damages. And what, I didn't watch it, but what struck me about it was the slogan they used to advertise it. You know, every time they bring on a new series, they show you bits of it and they tell a little story to try and get you to say, I want to watch that. Well, they didn't succeed. But they did say something that caught my ear, because I think it summed up the approach of the world. And it was this: forget forgiveness. What goes around comes around. Forget forgiveness. What goes around comes around. And that was the advice given by which the characters in this TV series were to act out. Unforgiveness, revenge, the pain of evil with evil. How different from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ that he gave us in the Lord's Prayer that we have been studying, when he said, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. Or as our Authorized Version translates it, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness, it touches each of us at the very depths of our nature. It is the very essence of Christianity, that it is a religion of forgiveness. And that is what I want us to look at tonight. Forgiveness. To consider why the Lord Jesus would, in the midst of this prayer, ask us to pray for forgiveness and to ask us also to give forgiveness. Forgiveness is the reason why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into this world, why he suffered and died upon the cross, that we would know our sins forgiven. That is why Christ died, that we might be forgiven. It's such an important issue that here we learn that our attitude to forgiveness reflects the real state of our hearts before God. We cannot be true Christians if we hold grudges and nurse hatreds. If we have an unforgiving heart, it is a sign that we ourselves are unforgiving. The Apostle John put it this way: if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. But he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And yet in reality, forgiveness does not come into our thinking at all. Yes, we ask God to forgive us, but do we practice it? Do we think about our need to forgive others? Alas, I often feel that the truth is told, we are more inclined to go along with the BBC attitude of forget forgiveness. What comes around goes around. We are followers of the BBC rather than of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so this evening I want us to look at forgiveness under three headings. First, our need of forgiveness. Secondly, our need to forgive others. And thirdly, our need to forgive ourselves. Firstly, then, our need of forgiveness. Our need of forgiveness. This petition reminds us of our need of forgiveness. The forgiveness of God. Why do we need it? Because of our sins. The word debts, as it is in our authorized version, is a far better word translation than trespasses. Trespasses tends to be the one we traditionally use as we say the Lord's Prayer. Trespass has within it the idea of crossing a boundary. We all know this. There's those signs we often see. Trespassers will be prosecuted. Or no trespassing. And to trespass means to go on to someone else's property. And very often maybe we go on to somewhere and somebody will say to us, get off my property. We trespass. And it bears with us the idea that we have crossed the boundary of God's law. We have gone somewhere we should not have done. And we have done something which we should not have done. But the idea of debts carries within it all the various aspects of sin. Not only the crossing of barriers set out as in forgiveness, but failing to live up to the standard of the law, and also the sinful bent of our hearts. But that also reminds us that we owe to God the duty of obedience. That's what the Lord Jesus was trying to teach the disciples in that reading in Luke's Gospel. He was trying to teach them that they owed to God the duty of obedience. And when we obey God in everything, in a sense, we even then, we did not place God under any obligation to us. Because we were required to obey him. Same as when you go to work. If you do your work, the boss does not come down and give you an extra pay. Something, an extra bonus, because you did your work that day. You're expected to do your work. And God expects us to obey him. And obedience, we are required to pay. And we have not paid our obedience. And therefore, in a sense, we are in debt to God. We owe him. Our account is empty. And there's nothing that we have to pay to cover for our disobedience. Have you ever needed to pay a bill? Tripped along to the bank machine. Put in, just read your balance. And it's not as much as you thought it was. You often can see it with people at the bank machine. They get a statement and they're studying it and they're blocking the way. Because they've gone and they found there's not as much in the account as they reckoned. And they're trying to work out where the money went. And we're like that. We owed God obedience. But in our account, there is nothing to pay that obedience because we are sinners. Once we have grasped the real nature of our sinfulness, we will never be content with the notion that we can earn God's forgiveness by what we do. Because when we grasp the real nature of the sinful bent that they possess, we realize everything we do is corrupted and tainted by sin. By trying to clean ourselves by our good works, in reality, we are cleaning ourselves with muck, and we come out dirtier than we started. No one tries to clean their car with dirty water. No one tries to clean their children with mud. But we try to clean our souls with sinful works. Salvation by works is impossible. It cannot be done. The Apostle Paul says, the carnal mind is sinful against God, and it cannot please God. That's a witness of the scriptures tonight, of each one of us. But in our own natures, we cannot please God. There's nothing that we do that will ever deal with the problem of our disobedience. If we're going to need our sins forgiven, if we're going to need our sins cleansed, we need God to do it. We need the forgiveness of God. And it is in God and Christ that we must hope. That's why your pastor has preached to you the gospel. That is why those of us who come here and stand in the pulpit preach to you the gospel. And that's why in our congregations we need to reach out to the people who are around us, because they stand in the need of God's forgiveness of their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, taking upon himself the full wrath of God against the sins of his people. And the only hope we have is the death of Christ. For it and it alone is able to deal with the obligations and steps that we have before God. We cannot pay our debts, but our Lord Jesus Christ can. And if we are Christians here tonight, he has done so. He has paid the debt. But this is not a once and for all thing. When we become Christians, this dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ belongs to everyday life. It is the day-to-day reality of Christian faith and Christian living that we turn to God to receive the forgiveness of our sins. For even if we are Christians, we need day by day to know God's forgiveness. We stand in need of it. This morning we looked at the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And we considered the tax collector and his character of coming and seeking for forgiveness. But then we considered mostly the character of the Pharisee and how he had become cold-hearted and callous, how he despised the tax collector. And we saw that very often we have the same attitude to others, a callousness, a coldness, a holier than thou. We bring that attitude at times not only to people outside the church, but to people within the church. we fail to grasp what we have of sin still within us. We imagine that we are not too bad. We have the odd quirk here and there, but essentially we are super saints, if we may put it that way. Essentially, we are not sinners. And we end up as Pharisees in the temple. The Lord Jesus tells us to pray and forgive us our debts, because that breaks that self-righteousness down. We are forced to be honest before God and to be honest with ourselves when we confess that we are in need, even of now, of the forgiveness of our sins. This petition brings us up with a sharp reminder that we are still sinners. John's word echoes that of Christ. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Sin is a master of deceit. It is long practiced, and it is easy for us to be blinded and deceived. And it can blind us, even as Christians, to the true reality of our own sinfulness. And this petition reminds us that we continue to be sinners, dependent upon God and dependent upon his grace and forgiveness. This petition calls upon us to call upon God that he would open our eyes, that he would reveal our sins to us, that we would see our sins, that we would grasp the reality of our disobedience. It's as we grow in grace, we become more and more aware of our sinfulness, because we grow more and more aware of how short we come. You see, we're praying that God will show us the sins that we commit, that we are unaware that we do. When we pray, forgive us our debts, we are asking God to reveal the true nature of our hearts to us. And we must be prepared for what he will show us. Because we always have too high opinion of ourselves. And sometimes something will happen, and God will show us to us the reality of our hearts, and we will become and caught up short, because we never imagined that we were like that. We need to see ourselves truly also if we are to do and fulfill the requirement that this petition demands of us. And so the second thing I want us to note this evening is our need to forgive others. Our need to forgive others. As we forgive our debtors. Aye, there's the rub. You see, it's only when we become aware of the colossal debt that we have amassed with God. It's only as we realize how much of a sinner that we are, and how much that God has forgiven us, that we begin to realize that on the whole, people have not done much against us. But in reality, the people we think who have kicked us the most in life have swung that boot and had a loose bit of our trousers. They've never really hurt us. They've never really damaged us. They've never really done us gross evil. You see, we're in the position of the man in the parable that Jesus told. The man who owed 10,000 talents. Do you remember that parable? Jesus says, there was this man and he owed a king 10,000 talents. And the king decided that he would call in his accounts. And so the man was brought before the king, and 10,000 talents was a colossal sum of money. I think William Barclay it is who says that the equivalent of money was, the young people won't understand this, but the older people will. The old tanner, the old sixpence. But if you got 5 miles of donkeys with bags stuffed full of sixpences, and the donkeys, I think, were separated by about 1 foot or something, and you had 5 miles of these donkeys from head to tail with bags full of little sixpences stuffed and crammed to the top, you might have 10,000 talents worth of money. It was a colossal sum. Even some countries in the ancient world did not have 10,000 talents. But this man owed the king money he could never hope to pay. And the king forgave him. And all was well. And he was out one day and he bumps into somebody who owed him, I think it was like 300 denarii or something. The sort of money that you could jingle in your pocket. When I was a small boy, if I got any coins, I used to jingle them in my pocket. My father taught me the wee rhyme, when I was single, my pockets did jingle, I wish I was single again. And this man, he must have been single because he had pockets that jingled. And the man who had been forgiven this colossal sum seizes him by the throat and says, you owe me money, pay it now. And the man used exactly the same words as the man had used to the king. Give me time and I will pay you. But he didn't. Here's the man taken and thrown into debtor's prison until he pays. And the man is seized eventually by the king, brought before him, and he is punished. Why? Because in his actions of throwing the man who owed a few pennies into prison, he had shown that he had not understood the lesson that the king had intended to teach him. And when we forgive those who have hurt us, and it is only pennies compared to the colossal talents of debt we have against God, if we do not forgive them, we have not learnt the lesson that God intended us to learn. Forgiveness is something we are meant to pass on. It's not meant to be given to us, in a sense, for ourselves alone. But it is something that we are to pass on to others. Because it's only when we see how little we have been offended that we realize how much God has forgiven us. And we are to realize that to forgive others is nothing more than being a Christian. If we continue to bear grudges, hold things against people, even after they come in repentance and ask for forgiveness, it is a sign that we are strangers to God's grace. We are meant to show our Father's likeness. And as He has forgiven us, we are meant to forgive those who come to us like the man in our reading. The Lord Jesus said, if he comes many times a day and asks for forgiveness, and comes with repentance, you are to forgive him. And I think that's very important, that repentance is part of forgiveness. It is when people repent, they are forgiven by God. And when we repent, he forgives us. And if someone comes and they're genuinely sorry and they're genuinely repentant about what they have done for us, then we are duty-bound to forgive them. To have an unforgiving spirit is to show that we have hardened our hearts against God. A great servant of God, Donald Coggan, wrote these words: if we refuse to forgive them, so we harden ourselves that the forgiveness of God cannot reach us. We will be forgiven, but only if we are willing to forgive. This is too often a message we try to mute because we don't like it. It requires something difficult of us. And when the scriptures require something difficult of us, we turn the volume down. It is said at the Battle of Copenhagen, the commander of the fleet ordered the English fleet to disengage. But Admiral Nelson, who was in command of some of the ships, he wasn't the commander of the battle, but he was a great naval strategist, and he realized that he could win the battle and that he could damage the French Navy considerably. And he had a blind eye. And so he put the telescope to his blind eye and he said, I see no signal. Carry on. And that's what we do very often when the Bible tells us something that we don't particularly like, something that is hard and difficult to do. We, as it were, turn the telescope to our blind eye and we say, I see no scripture. I'll carry on. Are we to react to others? Are we willing to remember that they are human too? And that means at times they will fail us, they will let us die. In those times, do we remember how many people we have failed, how many people we have let die? How many people who could bring charges against us? It is only as the cesspit of our hearts is revealed to us that we can see we have no right to stand and claim the moral high ground or proclaim ourselves to be a totally innocent victim. We realize that the faults of the people around us, the things they have done to us, are our faults, and we have done them to others. Forgiveness means that we do not hold what people have done to us against them. We dismiss it from our thoughts, and we treat them as though they had never offended us. It's a special form of love. And we are to have love to all men. To all men we must show Christian love and Christian compassion. But to how many have we failed to show this Christian love? And we have become their debtors. You see, we expect others to excuse our foibles. We expect others to forgive us when we tell them why we haven't done as we said we would. But as we expect them to forgive us, we must always be willing to forgive them. But very often I feel the most difficult person for us to forgive is to forgive ourselves. Thirdly, then, our need to forgive ourselves. Our need to forgive ourselves. Now, why do I say this? It's because too often do we not replay our old sins again and again in our mind, and we forget that God has forgiven us. We go over our sins as though God had not in his graciousness forgiven them, as if God in his love was no longer holding those against us and had dismissed the charges. So often what we do is we go over our sins as though in God there was no forgiveness, and we have to, as it were, lever it out of him by going on and on and on to him. If we have been truly repentant, if we have come in faith through Jesus Christ, then God has forgiven us our sins, and we need not cast them up against ourselves. Granted, at times we may have to take actions to right wrongs, to seek reconciliation with the other person or with other people. But in many ways we allow Satan to use our old sins to drag us down, to hinder us in the service of God, and to make us doubt that God forgives us and has mercy upon us. Often we drag these memories of past sins up and we bemoan them, rather than bemoan the sinful nature. That sinful nature takes and uses our memories against us and causes us to doubt the reality of the forgiveness and the grace of God. Do we believe that God forgives? We need, in a sense, to forgive ourselves for these God-forgiven sins and move on in the Christian life. The devil doesn't care if you're going to, you know, daydream. And he doesn't care if you sit and instead of looking forward, looking unto God, as the psalmist told us to do in Psalm 123, if he can make us stand and look back, as long as we do not look on God and we do not grasp the nature and the character of his love and his forgiveness. If he can make us think of God as some kind of person who's going to bring up everything we have ever done, There's a story told about a man and he's sitting looking miserable. And the man says, "What's up?" He says, "It's my wife. She's got a bad memory." He says, "Well, you know," he says, "my memory's not too good either. I forget lots of things." He says, "My wife, her memory's bad. She doesn't forget things. She's always bringing up what I did." And the devil can make us have that kind of bad memory, where we're always dragging up the things we have done. He can make us forget about God and the graciousness of God and the love of God and the wonder of salvation in Jesus Christ. He doesn't care how he stops us, as long as we cease to look at God. This petition reminds us of our true need. The need of forgiveness of our sins. The need of God's forgiveness. And the need to be reconciled to him. The Lord Jesus, who never sinned, not only taught this prayer, he died upon the cross so that we could pray it. It is a glorious prayer. And so often we say it without thought. The words trip of our lips. But there is much it teaches us. It teaches us of the character of God. It teaches us of our own character. It teaches of our need to come and to receive from God the forgiveness of our sins. And of our need, as it were, to pass on that forgiveness to those we meet. Blessed be our Lord Jesus Christ, who by his death has opened up that new and living way into the presence of the Father, that we may pray, that we may receive the forgiveness of our sins, that we may be altered and changed to show his glory from day to day. Blessed be Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us. We thank you for the challenges it presents to us, of how it strips us bare before you, that we stand in your presence as we are, and we stand before your presence aware of who we are. But we thank you that it speaks of grace. It speaks of you as our Father. It speaks to us of your forgiveness. It shows us the way ahead. It shows us how we are to live. And it gives us a deep love for you and for those around us. Father, teach us to pray. Help us, O Lord, to seek your forgiveness, to be ready to forgive others, to show your love and your compassion, to be like Christ. Father, in your mercy, hear our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.